We have a very special guest today with a very special issue. Former 1983 national champion basketball player for North Carolina State University, Alvin Battle. Alvin, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you, and I appreciate you inviting me to come on to speak today.
Oh, you bet, Alvin. And, of course, you played for the late, great Jim Valvano, that outstanding, charismatic basketball coach who led you guys to the national title that year. And I'll tell you what, I remember where I was at, and what a finale, not only in the game, but the way the game finished. You know, Alvin, to this day, I don't know if that was an air ball that went up there or a pass, but I know this, it fell into the right hands for as far as you were concerned, right?
It fell into the right hands, and you know, we just had our 25th anniversary, and we were kidding Derek about it. He continued to say it was a pass, but we all know it was a shot.
Well, at any rate, let's talk about what has been really, I think, a huge issue in America, and it sometimes it gets downplayed. But you're African-American, I am. As we've talked, you and I, we both go to predominantly white churches. Of course, we have heard over the years that the most segregated hour in America is Sunday morning. At 11 a.m.
Yeah. That is true.
You have white and black people and others just kind of move into their own little realms. Even people who are friends and so forth who live with each other just kind of go to their own churches racially.
That is true.
And yet you and I go to churches where we are in the minority. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the pressures of that. I don't know if you hear it from fellow African-Americans, maybe something like this. What are you doing going to that church? You know, why don't you go to a black church? or you may even, and there's some whites out there who are probably listening who go to predominantly black churches, and they probably hear some flack as well. But why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of your impressions and what your church is doing so that there is a biblical love and unity among believers in local churches?
Well, let me tell you about my church. It's New Horizons Fellowship in Apex, North Carolina, and the senior pastor's name is Ray Wickham. If you look at Ray Wickham, he's a short man, about 5'2", and doesn't look like a man that I would follow. But I tell you what, he is one of my mentors. I absolutely love him. He loves God, and he started our church about 15 years ago, and I've been there for about 9 years. Mm-hmm. But when we started going to New Horizons Fellowship 9 years ago, my wife and my family were the only racial couple there. We were all white people there. For some reason, God was drawing us to that church.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know Pastor Ray and his family and just felt like this is where God was calling us to be. You know, we need to do something to bridge the divide between blacks and white in this country. So we were there. We've been there, like I said, for 9 years, and I'm a part of leadership there. And over the past 9 years, our church is still probably 85% Caucasian, but within the last 2 years, it is absolutely growing as far as the minorities. People will come in and just see me. I'm one of the greeters, and greet them with a smiling face and just happy to be there, and they come back. And I had a couple this past Sunday come in for the first time, and they looked at me like, okay, they've heard about New Horizons Fellowship, and they saw my happy face, and I gave them a hug and told them to welcome, and this is a place that you can feel love regardless of who you are, and I'm sure they'll be back next week, and that's why we got to do it one person at a time. And we do need to bridge this gap between the races because, you know, when we get to heaven, all of us are going to be there.
Right.
So we might as well get used to it or get accustomed to it right now while we're on earth.
Yeah, they're not going to be any railroad tracks dividing us up there in a black heaven, a white heaven, an Hispanic heaven, a north or south heaven, right?
That is true.
Yeah. You know, I think that most of us Christians of all races would say that racism is wrong. It's a sin.
It is.
And we see in Scripture the problems and the issues and the sinfulness of favoritism and prejudice. But one of the biggest problems than just overt racism today is the allowance of covert racism, and separation can really be an agent in that. Someone once said, evil prevails when good men do nothing. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that, Alvin. How is your church doing something, and what has the Lord been inspiring you to do personally?
Well, in our church, we, like I said, I am one of the greeters. We go out to the community where we are and try to bring people in, regardless of who they are. we have special times for children, and we own a plaza, and some of our tenants are Hispanics. Of course, when you have children, all children play because they don't know the difference between black and white and Hispanic. They don't really care. Mm-hmm. So when you bring the children together, you bring the parents together, it gives us an opportunity to say, hey, here we are. We're New Horizons Fellowship. We love you. We love your kids. Why don't you come worship with us, mm-hmm. regardless of who you are? And we have seen a population growth in the Hispanic community come to our church. And it's just that's just one of the things we're doing. Mm-hmm. We, like I said, we're ministering also in our prisons. And we go to the halfway place where they go from Central Prison, which is a predominantly prison here, to a middle ground. And when they come out into the community, we want them to know that, yes, you have a place to go. And mm-hmm. We've seen that population come because people are there for various reasons, but regardless of who you are, black or white, it doesn't matter. You can still come to New Horizons Fellowship. We are a seeker church. We want people to come mm-hmm. just as you are. And that's how Christ looks at us, just as we are. We all are broken in some point, but we want you to come to our church.
You know, Alvin, if we can just get downright frank here, I think one of the things that God really asks us to be is a very authentic people.
Yes.
And when we look at it, the paint gets dumped on the ghost.
Yes.
In this issue, when you see people of different races moving in a particular community, and you see the flight of a number of people who want to avoid that particular race or people group, we can talk about socioeconomics and the housing rates and the market value and all of that. But by and large, you know, as we're looking at things from a ministry standpoint, God has called us to look at people with his heart, not with the world's heart. And then you think about interracial marriage. I mean, it has created tremendous tension in this nation, even among Christians. And again, I say the paint gets dumped on the ghost right there. We can talk a good game. We can say, oh, yeah, some of my best friends are black and they can live in my neighborhood. But then when your daughter starts to date my son, and both even being Christians, all of a sudden we got some issues. So have those issues come up at your church? Have you had some frank discussions and put things out on the table so that we can take a biblical spin on these issues?
Well, you know, you mentioned the interracial part, and that's something that's near to dear my heart. My wife is Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone through all of those things with interracial couples, and that was one of the main reasons why we went to New Horizons Fellowship, because we thought that that place would be a safe haven for interracial couples, because in the black church, that's still not accepted.
Right.
Of course, it's not accepted in the white church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife and I can tell you all types of stories about what has happened to us based on mm-hmm. our race, interracial mm-hmm. marriage. But, you know, thank God and praise God, we've been married for 20 years and with two beautiful daughters to show for it and two Christian girls. But, you know, it is an issue. And our church is growing in the popularity for interracial marriages because they see an interracial couple. My wife sings on the worship team, Debbie, and I, like I said, I'm a greeter and a pastoral intern at my church.
Mm-hmm.
And they see these things. And it's bridging the gap. One by one, it's bridging the gap.
Amen.
Between the blacks and the whites. You know, we had a hard time finding someone to marry us, you know, back in 1988.
Wow.
We didn't get married in the traditional church in this area because no one would marry us.
Hmm.
So we got married in a friend's home. But, you know, God has been faithful to us. He loved us and shown us where we need to be and what we can do. For a long time, we thought that people were looking at us by being an interracial couple. You know, we've had several people come up to me and just ask me, you look familiar to me.
uh-huh.
You know, did you play for so-and-such? Yes, I did. But being a black man, I'm automatically thinking that, yeah, you're looking at me based on my race, but they were looking at me because I knew you from playing basketball at NC State. So mm-hmm. we've had to change our thinking also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, God has been faithful to us, and we are examples of interracial marriages and how they should be upheld instead of going through the stereotypical. When you see a black man and a white woman, what do you see? You see two people instead of a black man and a white woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I tell you what, Alvin. First of all, I want to thank you for your transparency and being vulnerable for us. And I think it's important, even on a show like this. You know, it's a sports show, so we have people of all races involved in sports. But most importantly, it's a show that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And and Christ asks us to die to ourselves and our own agendas, and to take on the new resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And we talked about what it's going to look like in heaven. Jesus told us how to pray. He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so why not? Why shouldn't we be living that way? In fact, I feel very led, Alvin, right now with you. I would like to lead us in prayer and those out there just to pray for our nation in the area of race relations and particularly, most importantly, the body of Christ. That's where we need the prayer. And so let me go ahead and go before the Lord. Father, we just, first of all, we are privileged to be your children. We thank you for that. God, you had just incredible ability to design what you want, and you've created people in all different races and personalities and sizes and shapes and geographic locations. And yet, Lord, any man and any woman can know you through the Savior Jesus, God, and become family on impact. Lord, with that, the moment we trust Christ as Savior, Lord, we are definitely family members of all races and backgrounds. And Father, I pray that we would live out that expression. I pray for people like Alvin and his wife, Lord, who are pioneers in that area and in some areas of this country, Lord, those out there who are struggle with that, who are being ridiculed and put down and looked down upon because of that, Father. Those who are experiencing any type of racism, those of us even personally inside of all races, Lord, who struggle with the issue, but yet we kind of play this phony baloney game like we're not that kind of person. May we come before you, Lord, and find true expression in you. First of all, we die to ourselves and confess our racism, confess our prejudice, but also, Lord, we take on your grace for forgiveness, and we take on, Lord, the responsibility of being a true ambassador of Jesus Christ, speaking up against racial jokes and speaking up against those who put down others because of their race and speaking up against their prejudice and favoritism, Lord, of all sorts. And Father, it's not just race. It's all kinds of things with maybe disabilities and socioeconomic status and all kinds of things that are out there. We just want to say that you are a God who loves all people, Lord, and may we so reflect that so that the accurate representation of Jesus Christ is alive and well in us. So, Father, we thank you, and may you reshape America through the body of Christ and our attitude toward race relations. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Alvin, thank you very much for diving into this issue with me today and reminding us all of our oneness in Jesus Christ. And our guest today in this special segment is Alvin Battle, former basketball player for the national champion North Carolina State Wolfpack back in 1983. Alvin, thanks for being on the show with us.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share with you today, and I do appreciate it.